This is the Puppy Training Podcast, episode 112, Three Common Mistakes Families Make When Getting a New Dog. This podcast is designed to help you on your journey of becoming best friends through love and learning as you train your own dog from home. And I'm here to help you every step of the way. This is the Puppy Training Podcast, and I'm your host, Amy Jensen. Hello, everybody. How are you this week? We are enjoying our last week of summer before school starts at our house next week. We have two more soccer tournaments, a family barbecue, some trail walks, and a day at the lake plant. I know that's a lot. I hope you're getting done what you want to do as well. We've also had several dog playdates. Coda, that cute little chocolate labradoodle puppy, stayed with us for a few nights, and a few Jeep rides to make sure Baxter's enjoying his summertime too. He might even join us for a soccer tournament or two. As we head back into a routine of a new school year, many families are starting their puppy training journey. I like to revisit the basics for anybody just finding themselves in that situation and for those who need a good reminder or a refresher, if you will. So this podcast today is really for everyone, but especially if you're getting a new dog soon. Here at Baxter and Bella, we've helped thousands of families train their own dogs. We get a lot of emails and do a lot of one-on-one coaching sessions with really cool people. In those experiences, I have recognized three common mistakes families make when getting a new dog. And today I thought we'd take time on the podcast to share those in order to help more people not make those same mistakes, right? Sometimes it's just about awareness. If we're aware of it, we can prevent it. So do you have any guesses as to what they are? I'm curious what you would say, given your experience. If you've raised a puppy before, or you've done this once or twice or three or four times, I'm just curious what you think those common mistakes might be. I'm also up for wild guesses if you're new to this whole dog thing. I get that too. So before we dive into it, I do want to add the clause that I completely think making mistakes is 100% okay. In fact, I believe we learn more by making mistakes than we would have if we had done everything perfectly or right the first time. So please don't beat yourself up if you find yourself making these mistakes that we're talking about today. Instead, recognize we are all learning, and from that journey comes growth. All right, first up, people tend to wait for their dog to do something they don't like, then do something about it. Does that ring a bell? Any of us fit in that category? And it's easy to do this. I think that's why we do it, right? It's easy to just go about the day, and then the dog does something we don't like, and then we try to do something about it. So we're waiting for our puppy to bite, and then we want it to stop. Or maybe we're waiting and our puppy jumps, and then we don't want the dog to jump anymore. Now, when I say waiting, it's not like you're just standing there waiting for this to happen, right? That's the tricky part of this one, is that I know you're not intentionally doing this. But a lot of us, the jumping happens, then we react, right? The barking happens, then we react. The biting happens, then we react. And there's a much better way to go about it. So instead of waiting, you know, for the puppy to bark, and then, yeah, you guessed it, we want that barking to stop. Let's see if we can go about it in a different way. Now, think about what we just talked about for just a second. Saying it like this does tend to kind of make it sound silly, right? When I say I'm waiting for the puppy to bite and then I want it to stop. I'm waiting for the puppy to jump and then I want it to stop. That does seem kind of silly. And I think it seems silly because truly we're not just waiting for it to happen. But if I'm always handling the situation after it happens, I kind of am just waiting for it to happen. Now, I know in real life it is not always simple, but what if? What if we prevented the biting, barking, and jumping by teaching our dog what to do instead before they bite, bark, or jump? Okay, hear me out. I know my puppy will most likely jump on me when they see me. They're excited, right? That's what they're going to try to do. And then most likely they'll start biting my ankles when they get to me if they want to play with me, right? Now I see them running at me. Option A, I can wait for them to do those things. Or option B, I could put a hand target out in front of them before they get to me, lure them into a sit, mark yes, and pay them. Then I keep their brain busy on simple tasks like take a step away, repeat the target hand, mark yes for another sit, and repeat. I could lure them into a down, mark yes, and pay them. I could lure them into a spin, mark yes, and pay them. I could lure them into their playpen and give them a chew, close the gate, and now I've just spent 1 to 2 minutes of good training, and now it's chew time. No biting, no barking, or jumping occurred. Now, this does take thought, effort, and a little bit of planning. Notice I didn't have time to go get food rewards. Guess what? I'm already wearing them. They're already in a pouch or a fanny pack or my pocket. Now, 90% of the time, do your best to prevent this unwanted behavior by noticing what your dog is likely to do and interrupting it before it happens with something better. Dogs love patterns. They love finding patterns. And if we can take the biting, barking, and jumping out of the pattern, then we're off to a better, you know, result. So if my puppy runs at me, put out that target hand before the biting or the jumping happens. Show them what I want them to do, mark yes, and pay them well. What gets rewarded gets repeated. So teach your dog what to do instead of always trying to think, I wish my dog would stop doing this. Okay. Now it is common for new dog owners to say no more than they say yes. So do a little inventory and assess how often today am I telling my dog no? In comparison, how often am I telling my dog yes? Now imagine for a second that I invite you over to my house to play games. And immediately as you walk in, I'm telling you, nope, sorry, you can't sit there. Nope, don't put your shoes there. Nope, that's not your set of cards. How much fun are you having? Zero fun, right? Zero fun, sir. Would you want to come back to my house and hang out with me? Nope, probably not. So isn't telling you no over and over again annoyingly frustrating? What can you do? I'm sure that's what you're wondering, right? Like, well, what can I do, Amy? Where can I sit? Where can I put my shoes? You're wondering those questions. Now, it's the same with our dogs. A puppy who hears no all day long gets pretty frustrated, and they aren't as willing to cooperate with us. Try recognizing the good things they do, marking yes and rewarding them for it. And if they're not doing those things very often, then show them what to do. Show them what works to get a yes. Teach them what they can do and make it worth it to them. Remember, they are a dog and they only know natural dog behavior, which includes biting, barking, and jumping to get what they want. So educate them on what works for you and them. All right, the second mistake we commonly see is giving too much space or freedom. Now, accidents are bound to happen, but we can do a lot to minimize them and set our dogs up for success. A few things we can do right away are shrink our dog's living space, help them find the exit regularly, and then supervise more closely. I like to set timers to remind me to take potty breaks often. When these new 8, 9, 10-week-old puppies come to our homes, their bladders are very small and they're input-output machines. So if they take a drink or eat some food, they probably need to go to the bathroom in a little bit. So set a timer just to remind you, maybe on the hour, or maybe your puppy's up to an hour and a half. It'll vary from dog to dog and how old they are. But set that timer to remind you, oh yeah, I need to make sure I take the puppy out to go potty. I also like to use baby gates, pens, and crates to prevent accidents. So putting your puppy in these smaller spaces prevents these accidents on your living room carpet or dining room rugs. We see families letting their puppies run around the house and then they find accidents in the back bedroom or behind the furniture. We want you to close all bedroom and bathroom doors for now. We want you to use the pen as a pen. Or like I do at my home, I open up that pen and make it as a large gate. I have very open floor plans, so that can't be an excuse for you. You can't say, Amy, my house is too open. I can't make this space smaller. I promise you can. You just have to be creative. Find a way to shrink your puppy's living space and only increase it one room at a time when your puppy is regularly finding the exit and having zero accidents for at least a week in their current living space. So they're finding the exit from their current living space and they're not having an accident in that space for at least a week, then you can open up the next room. Now it helps to watch your puppy like a hawk when they are out playing and get them to the exit as soon as they start circling or excessively sniffing the floor. I know all puppies sniff, so sometimes it's just about sniffing, but other times it's about going to the bathroom. So make sure you're giving them regular potty breaks, and if they are sniffing and they're doing it pretty intently, I would ask them if they need to go out. Now this takes some time, but pay attention to your puppy's potty habits. You'll start to notice their body signals that they need to go, and you'll start to figure out their routine. House training is all about consistency, patience, and persistence. Don't slack off too soon. It's tempting, I know, but keep at it and you'll have a well house-trained dog who lives in your home accident-free for the rest of their lives. I really promise, the initial time invested is worth it. Use the crate for times when you cannot supervise or need a break. Use the crates. It's really okay. We help dogs love their crates. It becomes their bedroom where their favorite things are, right? This is where they get their meals. This is where chew time happens. This is where naps happen and they can just relax. They're not in charge of anything or any territory. Crates help prevent accidents and encourage your dog to hold it until it's time for a potty break. So you're also helping them improve their bladder strength and bladder control, okay? Finally, many new dog families lack structure and they're not giving their dogs enough rest during the day. Puppies need a lot of sleep at night, but also during the day. Use the crate or pen to give your puppy regular naps and you will have a much happier, less crazy dog. When you are ready for them to come out of their crate or pen, have a plan in place. What are you going to work on? What are you going to play? Keep the training or play session short, 5 to 15 minutes, and then it's downtime again. Teach this concept to your kids as well. Structured time together and plenty of rest between makes for a more calm, cooperative puppy. So if you're experiencing some tantrums or some rough puppy behavior and you're noticing that it's hard for your puppy to settle themselves, incorporate more downtime, more naps throughout the day, and I think you'll see improvement. So to recap, don't wait for the unwanted behavior to happen. Anticipate it, then interrupt it before it happens and teach your dog what to do instead. Try to say yes way more often than you say no. If you do find yourself saying no more often, recognize you're waiting too long. You instead need to be proactive and help your dog make the right choice earlier. Second, start with a small living space and only open up a new room as your dog is successful at going potty outside and keeping that current living space clean and free from chewing furniture or being inappropriate in that space as well. Be patient. Don't speed this process up or more accidents are bound to occur. Help your dogs be successful, you guys. That's what we're always saying, right? Hopefully that's ringing in your ears at this point. Set them up for success. Finally, don't be afraid to structure their day. Set up a routine and include plenty of downtime. Naps are important. Use a crate or pen to make sure your dog is getting enough rest so they can think clearly and be the best they can be. All right, you guys, there's 3 common mistakes for you. Hopefully now you can avoid them. And I wish you all the best. Have an awesome week. Enjoy your dogs and happy training. If you have a question about anything you heard on this podcast or any other puppy training question, visit my site, BaxterandBella.com, to contact me.